Bob Garland.
Okay, my name's Guido. I'm an addict. I was hoping that Bonnie would use up all the time so I wouldn't have to talk much. I don't know how much time we got left. Do you know? A few minutes. That's okay. Okay, so anyways, I guess I wanted to share, what do you call it? I was thinking about that thing. I used to live in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, started getting clean there in 1989. I moved to Kentucky. I was thinking about your thing where you said you either worked at Steps or moved to Florida. So,
right.
But through my job, I moved to Kentucky in 89.
Oh.
So I got clean. I'm 36 years clean now, and I've been part of Narcotics Anonymous the whole time. My home group's Point of Freedom in Lexington, Kentucky. So the only thing I have is my higher power and Narcotics Anonymous. That's all I've used to survive and live for the last 36 years. I haven't got any, maybe if I would have got some outside help, I might be healthier than what I am. I don't know. But that's where I got my help, was in Narcotics Anonymous. So originally I lived outside of Philadelphia. I went to jail in Montgomery County Prison. I was in there. I was scared to death in there. And when I was in there, I think I got my GED in that prison. And then they told me I could go up to that treatment center up by Williamsport. And I was happy to go up there. I thought, well, maybe it'd be easier to escape up there, but I thought I could get out of prison. So I went up to the treatment center there, and then when I left there, there was two guys, John S., I think he lived in Sunbury, and Jeff C., he lives someplace in Philadelphia, and to my knowledge, they're both still clean. I think Jeff goes to AA, but Jeff drove me from the treatment center to John S.'s house, and then John took me to my first NA meeting, and after the meeting, they had an area service meeting, so I was kind of like really strange. I guess they didn't call it area service back then. So there was a guy, Ray D., that was the running the area meeting. And I don't know, I guess my point I was going to try and make was I got to go to, it was like service was connected with staying clean right away. You know, it wasn't like separate. It was all part of the same thing. So I guess the one big point was that there was a whole lot of people that I met that got clean back then are still clean today. There's like I'm 36 years clean, but I'm not like a oddball. Like there's a whole bunch of guys from like the around the Pennsylvania area. Whatever happened back then, it was like in the late 70s, early 80s. All these guys and women stayed clean, and they stayed clean for all this time. You know, they're still clean now. Some of them have stayed clean and died clean. But something happened then that we stayed clean. And it wasn't, I wasn't a real smart person. You know, I was, like, young. I think I was, I don't know what, I was 18, 19 when I got clean. And I would, like, when I would walk down to the sidewalk to go to the meeting, I would trip over the cracks in the sidewalks and fall down, you know, and it was like I was spaced out in my head, and so I don't really remember all the details, the facts. I get, like, the dates or when things happen kind of mixed up, but the point was that we went to meetings, we stayed clean, we didn't have all the fancy stuff that we have now, like cell phones. You know, we lived in the same department together. We all went to meetings together. We had we didn't have enough NA meetings. I went to Williamsport, was where I was going to meetings at. I was living in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We didn't have enough NA meetings to go to NA meetings every night of the week, so we went to, I went to some AA meetings a couple nights a week. It was maybe when I was clean 2 years before I believed that, and I was scared to death, that I made a decision to just go to Narcotics Anonymous, and scared, thinking, could I really stay clean with just going to Narcotics Anonymous? But so I don't remember when that date was, but somewhere it's around 2 years clean or less than 2 years clean. I from that point on, I went to NA meetings. And then the language thing, I think I was still saying the word sober around that time, and I was when John Farrell was up here earlier, I was his alternate RSR, so I had to go out to California that year, and me and Billy A and Denny, we flew in the plane out to California to the conference together, and I guess on the way back, that's when Billy was telling me to stop using the word sober and use the word clean, and it took me like 6 months to be able to make that change. I mean, it wasn't an easy thing for me, but that was the words, and, you know, so when they told me to change it, I changed it. But anyway, so then we got to see a lot of those other guys out there, Dutch and John and Bobby B. from Philadelphia was out there, and I don't know, but anyways, we went out there together, and I guess, you know, what I was just saying earlier was that all these guys are still clean, you know, and we weren't any great people, you know. I wasn't, you know, good with the English language or good with anything, you know. I was just like staying clean with the rest of the guys. So something happened that we all stayed clean. And there wasn't, and we all did service work, and there wasn't, how do I say it, like ego. It seemed like when John Farrell talked earlier, he said a lot of things that he did, but it wasn't like an ego thing that he was great for doing them, but he was able to still share the things that he did were great, you know. And a lot of us did things together, and we were able to somehow, I guess, be humble about that, that there wasn't no persons taking, like, you know, being famous or great, but, you know, it's like everybody knows their names in NA. But, you know, the point is, I guess, that we worked together, and it was kind of like Bonnie had said, it seemed like a movement. We didn't know what we were doing. We weren't aware of outside issues. We didn't have enough literature. At the meetings I went to when I first started, we had one pamphlet that was like we could pass around at different meetings. You weren't allowed to take it home. You know, I could like, somehow it was given to me at the meeting to read at the beginning of the meeting, but we didn't have any literature, you know, so we didn't... when it talked about, you know, you work the steps, you know, we didn't have steps to work. We didn't have a step book or basic text, and we didn't have that stuff. So we just went to meetings and shared, and a lot of times we talked nasty to each other, you know. You know, so meetings were rough back then. So... I don't know, some of the stuff, I was trying to remember some of the stuff when John F. was talking, that somehow we had this regional meeting. I don't even know if we called it a region, but we had the guys from Philadelphia come up, and I'm not even sure where we met. It seemed like we met somewhere in between Philadelphia and the Poconos, that whether it was, it might have been Allentown where we met. I'm not really sure where we met, but it was like all the areas came together, and I think that maybe that's where we wound up calling that the Mid-Atlantic region. And we had a meeting. Ray D was there, and some of the issues, I guess, what I had to do, they asked me, that's where I was the chairperson of the first East Coast Convention, that at that meeting there, they said that we want to have something, some type of gathering for all us addicts to get together and do, besides a service, like an area service thing. So that was when we were supposed to take back and see if we could start this convention thing. And I don't even know how we got the name for it, but I know that it originated from that meeting. I think like there was two things they asked me to do. I made I didn't do it by myself, but a medallion coin. Like I had we didn't have any key tags or tokens to give out to anybody, so we wanted to make, it was brought up the meeting to make a medallion. So I went home and I made one, or actually I had my brother make it, a little two-year NA logo coin. So I have that stuff at home. But by the time we had our next meeting, I guess somebody at the meeting, when I brought that one there to show it, they said that in California they had come up with a medallion already. So we just threw that idea out. But from then we started the East Coast Convention. So I guess later on it was like, as the East Coast Convention kept happening, the Mid-Atlantic region got bigger, and then all the other regions were breaking off of the Mid-Atlantic region, so there was no place for the East Coast Convention to be directly responsible to, something like that. So I think it ended for a while. So I just remember that stuff. I remember Bob P. from Pittsburgh. He came to the first East Coast Convention, and I think that on the way home, his wife died. They had an accident. His wife died, and I didn't even know that till I read it in the basic text. The story was in the basic text, and I realized that she died, but I didn't. I hadn't talked to him since, I guess. And then there was other stuff, because we heard about, Bo brought up these two boxes of literature stuff to the convention, and he was talking about that stuff there. I guess sometimes I get the dates confused because I don't remember. I thought that I went to a convention in Marietta, Georgia with Larry North and a couple other people, and I thought we went down to the convention there and met Bo, and just to see how to put on a convention. So I thought that was when we went down there, was before we had the first East Coast Convention, but I can't remember like a timeline of when we did all those things. But it seemed like my first introduction to finding out about the basic text stuff was when Bo had brought those two big boxes of material, and I think the guy from California said they had this little bit, and Bo had all this stuff that he brought. So that was something. I don't know, and Jimmy said to say but anyway, so we were saying when they wrote talking about the growth explosion, that when the gray book was mailed out to home groups, there were 600 home groups, and 9 months later, when they mailed out the smaller version here, there was like 1,800 groups. So it went from 600 to 1,800 in like 9 months, but there was a lot of other, all the people that were taking part in the literature conferences, you know, all that stuff was going on. And so there was, like, a tremendous growth. And I guess, to me, it seems like back then, when you were part of Narcotics Anonymous, or when I was part, you went to meetings, sponsored people, and you did service work. Now, when I go to meetings now, it's more like, it's like you have a home group, you sponsor people, but you like, it's thinking like, let world take care of all that other stuff, whatever all that other stuff is. It's like, let some authority take care of it. And back years ago, it was more like a group conscience thing. Like a group conscience meeting was a really big deal. When you went to the area meeting, everybody brought their group vote there, you know, it was like everybody was there to make sure that you really carried the right group conscience vote, you know, and it was like a really big deal. And it seems like a little different right now in the fellowship, and I don't know why that change happened, but I can see that it's different change that when we vote on stuff in our area as a group conscience now, it's not as not every group took the stuff back, you know, and really made a big deal about it. You know, it's like they come to the area, they buy all their literature, you know, they go back to their home groups, they have a good meeting, but it's not the group conscience as hard as it was back then. What else? Oh, I was thinking, then we talked about, like, the explosive growth of NA. You know, in the town I lived in, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, so in 89, the town was growing, the NA community was growing so fast, the community was irate about it. I mean, they were really upset. There was, like, somehow there was, like, busloads of addicts coming up from Philadelphia, and the only way they knew was everybody, they would come up from Philadelphia and they'd get on welfare, and then they'd hang out, go to meetings, and I guess a lot of them, maybe they weren't staying clean, but there was a whole lot of people, and the neighborhood communities were getting upset because they had these small, like, white communities, and they would see the black guys standing on the corner waiting for the bus, and they thought that in my neighborhood, they thought it was, like, terrible, you know. And I think one day I was working, and the guy says, "I saw you last night. You were driving a car with, like, six black guys in it. What was that?" And I'm thinking, I was going to a meeting, you know, but I didn't want to tell him that. I was, like, thinking, "Oh God, you saw me," you know. And it was like scary to say that you were a part of Narcotics Anonymous, because it was in the news that all these drug addicts were coming to the town, and they had this guy that wanted to come to meetings and do interviews, you know, and so it was like, there was so much, you know, like before it was like trying to find somebody to come to the meeting, and then all of a sudden there was like, the community was like, really grew kind of really fast and strong, it was a little scary that there was so many addicts, you know. It was like the plate, you know, if you want to get clean, go up to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, you know, and they would just put people on a bus and send them up there. I wasn't in Philadelphia when they were putting people on a bus, so I don't know that firsthand. I just know what it was like in Williamsport, that there was a lot of people there, some of the meetings had went from like 15 people to 150 people, and that was like the late 80s. That was like 89, you know. So now it's pretty common to see a meeting with 150 people in it, but back then to see a meeting with 150 people was like, you know, scary. And I was thinking that. When we had that East Coast convention, I think we had, like, somebody was saying 177. I thought we had 150 people there. But that was, like, the biggest thing I have ever saw of NA people getting together. And I guess that's when we started taking the pictures of everybody together, that you could see a picture of all these addicts together. And it was, to me, it was amazing. You know, I still don't know how and why all that stuff happened. But we were like really wanting to see NA grow, you know, and we were traveling to different states and we were had a lot of close bonds. There was like all these guys that were staying clean. There was a real closeness, you know. You go down to Allentown, you go to Florida, you go to Pittsburgh, you go to what is it called, Georgia, and it was like home. You know, you felt welcome. You got hugs, and you really felt like you fit right in. You know, you were welcomed, and it was a real sense of a closeness. And it didn't matter what state you were in. It wasn't like you know, separations. If anything, it was more like I don't know how to say it, but anyways, it seemed like the whole East Coast was together, or like we were all unity. I guess we had a lot of closeness, and we wanted to make NA better. We wanted to make NA do more stuff. So we wanted to have more service structure. I mean, we were looking for new ideas of how to carry the message and how to get the word out. So I don't know if I need to talk a lot. One of the last things I was doing, I live in Kentucky, so I went to one of these U.S. service conference start meetings. So I heard a girl from Ohio talk about, I can't remember her name, Mary. But anyway, one of the things she was talking about was putting the books in public libraries. So I went back to Kentucky and I started doing that, and we have like 190 public libraries in Kentucky, and recently we've been able to put basic text in 70 libraries in Kentucky. So I had, you know, it kind of felt like the old days, going ahead and doing like service stuff again. So I got a kick out of going to these libraries and then the librarian saying, "Oh, we used to have a book and somebody stole it and we're glad to have it again." And one lady saying, "These are a hard to get commodity that some of the people they're afraid to come up to the desk and sign this book out, so they just take it, you know." And so we were telling them that, you know, if they take it, we'll get you another one. And then I had the opposite. Some of our people at our meetings, they said, "Don't put them in a library, somebody will just steal them." And I'm thinking, that's okay, that's great if they steal them. But a lot of the librarians were like really happy, you know, and some of them said that the people from the drug courts, they were looking for the basic text, so I guess maybe they had to write a paper about something, so they were looking for a basic text. So it was like, you know, most of the libraries going there in person, they kind of welcomed it. So it was kind of a fun thing to find out that they you know, they were willing to take the book. And anyway, you know, so I was thinking that was kind of one of those things that being involved in that U.S. service conference was talking about, doing more stuff like having standing service committees, you know, or doing more stuff in our regions together, and you know, having more unity and looking at stuff that we can do in the U.S. together to carry the message. I don't know. I was thinking, I don't really have a hidden agenda or anything. I'm just sharing my experience, what I'm doing in my recovery. You know, that's what I'm doing. I'm staying clean. I like to come here because two things. I want to see the guys that have stayed clean, my friends. I want to learn more about what's going on with I was staying clean, but I was living my life trying to get better, so I wasn't really aware of all the stuff that was going on in NA. You know, my ideas of the future, I was talking to Danny, I would like to see us have a NA, like a museum where you could have a building where you could have all that stuff. Now, I don't know if that takes away from the traditions and carrying the message, but it seems like it'd be nice to have some place where you could see NA stuff. I don't know if you can go to the World Service Office and they would be willing to show you the old stuff that they have. Like you can see here today, you can go over in the other room and you can see all these old books, which is kind of cool. And I don't know if at the NAWS office, if you can go there and if you're allowed to see any of that stuff or they keep it locked up. I don't know that. But anyways, I guess I'm really grateful to be a part of Narcotics Anonymous. And pretty much that's why I'm here, because I want to be I want to continue to stay clean and be a part of Narcotics Anonymous. That's all I have.
Thank you.